is up, Jeff?
Hey, what's going on, George? How are you today? How is the great state of Arizona treating you?
Well, the great state of Arizona is treating me pretty well, man, but I got to be honest, I'm still basking in the gold medal glow from the Winter Olympics, being that my home state of Minnesota was very dominant in curling. I'm not sure if you know anything about curling, though.
I don't know a lot about curling, but I think it's a great sport, and I want to learn more. Maybe some people in our audience will teach us a little bit. Maybe they're curling aficionados will be able to teach us something about curling.
Maybe, yeah. Anytime when you're in the Olympics, you can wear a hat. It's probably okay for me too. So,
well, that's great. So it's great that we're kind of coming together. We should probably tell the audience who we are. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, I know we're gonna kind of have descriptions, but we should probably tell people who we are. Do you want to start, and then I'll go?
Yeah, that sounds good, man. My name is George Grumbacher. I'm a 17-year veteran of financial services, primarily on working with retirement plan participants and doing financial advisory. I've been doing podcasts for the past 18 months, and recently connected with Jeff, and he was on my podcast, The Money Savage, and we hit it off, and we said, you know what, why don't we start a new podcast, and here we are. So,
well, George, it's great to work with you, and I think we're of like mind. Just for the audience benefit, I'm Jeff Snyder, founder and CEO of The Morning Pulse, and I think, like George, my passion is really educating and making sure that people have the right information. So whether they're an advisor, a plan advisor, whether they're a retirement plan sponsor, or whether they're average citizen across our great country, I want to make sure that they have the information handy for them to make the best decisions possible. And that really is what our show is going to be about. It's going to be about fun and excitement, but also learning and trying to dive into deep issues. So week to week, month to month, I think we're going to have great guests, right, George?
Yeah. Yep. And I think that we both have a good level of expertise, and I think that we're going to really be great complements to each other, but we're also going to bring on some extremely smart people and real experts in different areas, which is what you're saying, to help us better inform our listeners. So,
yeah, and I think our vision for this show is really more of a round robin. You know, I think the traditional shows are, you know, let's just feed people information, but we really want this to be an interactive session. And we want to make sure that people kind of have the opportunity to kind of experience the round robin approach of interaction between the guests and the hosts. And we want feedback. So if there's anything we can do better, we know we can. Of course, we're just starting this, but we want that feedback. So you can feel free to email us, and we'll have our contact information in the subscription box, et cetera. And so you can feel free to reach out to us. But we're going to cover a wide range of topics because, you know, retirement planning and financial services is really a wide range of topics.
Yeah, it's about as broad as it gets. So, So we have our work cut out for us, but I think that we're up to the job. So we're going to be recording on Friday afternoons, and I think we're going to be distributing on Sundays.
Yeah, I think that's the plan for now. But I mean, I guess we'll let the audience decide. I think
right. The
purpose is to kind of wrap up the week. What happened in retirement? What happened in financial services? What happened in financial planning? And then what's the thoughts going ahead, you know, for the week? And we want to be able to bring that to the listener. So a little bit different than a traditional podcast, but I think it's something that we're going to try to do, and we're going to, you know, try to improve upon it. So we want your feedback.
Awesome. Well, let's get started, man. Should we bring our guests on?
Absolutely.
Well, welcome on Kevin Kelly. Kevin is focused on equity strategy at Bloomberg Intelligence, covering global equity markets with a focus on the United States. And Kevin, I think that it's a good week to have you on the show. How is everything going in Boston?
Everything's pretty damp and wet here in Boston, which is pretty, you could say it's right given the market's done over the year so far. So not excited to be cooped inside most days. I'm not complaining, you could say.
Yeah. Well, you know, if it's any consolation, Kev, it's snow. You're not missing anything in New York because it's actually horrible, snowing and horrendous. So why don't we just get started? It's been a kind of an up and down week here in the market. And I know you really cover equity intelligence for Bloomberg. And, you know, our listeners are really both institutional and individual. and hoping you could kind of help us break that down a little bit and kind of explain. You know, we had the Federal Reserve chairman speak. We've got the markets going up and down. We've got tariffs now being announced. And just want to get your perspective on what you saw for the week.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been a crazy start to the year. I mean, another crazy week we've had here in the equity markets. We're down for the S&P 500 about 2.6% this week alone, which is kind of crazy to think about because, you know, last year, 2017, was really characterized by, you know, a low volatility regime. It kind of just seemed like, you know, the markets continue to move up and up without even really these big daily moves. You know, kind of a fun stat, the S&P 500, 15 days this year where it's moved at least 1% or more. And that's already two times the number of days that it moved 1% or more for all of 2017, right? So we're definitely in this new kind of volatility regime. And so I think going forward, right, and you've got some polarized views here on where the equity market could move from here. I think the recent sell-off from the January highs, we're sitting about 7%, a little over 7% off those highs. You got people on both sides. There's definitely a bull and a bear case here for stocks, you know, going forward.
Get out of town. Bull and bear, stop it.
Oh, God.
Bull and bear.
And look, and guess who's joined us? It's Mr. Oliver Rennick. How are you?
Good thing is I can go bull and I can also go bear. What's going on, guys?
How you doing? Thanks for joining us. So we should probably announce, George, this is Oliver Rennick. He's the anchor for TD Ameritrade Network, the host of Morning Trade Live and Markets on the Close. Did I get that right, Oliver?
Got it. Market on Close, baby. Jeff's right, and Jeff is a regular guest on both. Hi, George. How's it going?
Good, sir. Good, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
So we're just kind of getting into the meat and potatoes, Oliver. Kevin was just remarking. I mean, this has been a up and down market for the last couple of weeks. And, you know, what's your perspective?
It's a fun one to cover. That's for sure. Yeah, there's, you know, it's pretty interesting. There is it definitely feels like a pretty different market than we've gotten used to the past couple of years. I think the notion of a correction overall was something that is probably like one of the most forecasted pullbacks in the market that I can recall in my time writing about stocks, just how, given how quickly things have moved. But there are some distinctly different sort of elements of this market dynamic since one is that a few of these sort of long-term bear cases actually played out. And the fact that it hasn't totally wrecked us at this point is pretty interesting. Talking about this kind of short vol trade that finally went south on people, the specter of higher rates becoming an actual reality, and signs of inflation creeping in. So there are things here that many have been waiting to happen, and they're kind of, I think, taking advantage of that to really kind of bear up. But, you know, there's underlying, you know, stories that just don't really change overnight. So it's a fun time. There's a lot to talk about for sure.
Go ahead, George.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot to talk about. And frankly, for just the average investor out there who's watching this, it could be really sort of terrifying. What would your advice be to somebody who, they're not big investors, but they certainly have a 401k balance they put money in consistently?
Long-term markets and data tell us that stocks generally go up. I mean, obviously, I'm not an advisor, but time and again, if you had sold out of this market on signs of weakness, then you would have gotten burned 6 months down the road, or at least in the case of 2015 to 2016, a year down the road. So I don't think that there's a whole lot of, you know, there's certain things that are happening now that we haven't experienced in this bull market. But that being said, if you recall the first 2 months of 2016, I mean, every investor and every strategist that I talked to was freaking out, and we thought it was going to be the end of the bull market. We had six quarters of year-over-year contraction in earnings. We had speculation that China was going to have a hard landing. I mean, things were rough then too, and got to keep that perspective.
Yeah, Kevin, you know, we just had the Federal Reserve chairman release some commentary, and I know you wanted to talk a little bit about that and give some perspective there.
And really quick, just to kind of harp on Oliver's point, I totally agree. And I think long term, you know, if you are the average investor and you have a longer term time horizon, right, a lot of this is based on what your time horizon is. If you're looking out, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, and the markets, you know, historically have again, continue to rise to Oliver's point. Yeah. You know, at this point, you can almost look at it as buying stocks are cheaper, right? You would like to see a sell-off because then you're getting into the equity markets. If you consistently allocate money to it, you're consistently putting money into the market. You know, you want those lower prices to get in on. So, yeah, just kind of echoing what Oliver said. This week was most of the headlines, you know, kind of surfaced well before, I guess you'd say, the last 24 hours with Trump and tariff talk was surrounding new Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell and his testimony. I think the course that he's going to take or he's going to path forward for the Fed is going to be pretty similar to what the course that we were on under Janet Yellen. I do think that it was a little bit refreshing to hear some of his remarks. He seems to be more blunt than Janet Yellen was, you know, during her testimonies. And he had a lot of conviction when it came to the rate path based on underlying economic data, based on what he's seeing in the markets. I think there's this idea, this Powell put, right, where, you know, the Fed might come in and either, you know, unhinge their rate path expectations based on what the market does. And I really think that, you know, they're kind of looking below that and saying there might be some volatility on top, you know, within equities, within other asset classes. But for the most part right now, and this is something that Oliver was hitting on, there are some fundamental stories that don't change overnight. You know, when you look at specifically the stock market, you have great earnings trends. We're coming off a great Q4 for, you know, the U.S. equity market. That's expected to continue through 2018. Analysts are still, you know, bullish on stocks and earnings revisions moving forward. So, you know, another thing to keep in mind is how well we did in January. We had one of the best Januaries in almost, you know, 30 years heading into this most recent sell-off. So the S&P on 500 on the year is pretty much flat. And most people have kind of taken, I think, this recent sell-off taken a little bit out of context. You know, you often say that stocks, you know, take the stairs up and the elevator down, and I think that's kind of what we're seeing right now.
But I think you hit a really important point, Kevin and Oliver, in that, you know, I think actually, Oliver, I think I was on your show last month or earlier this month. We talked about the irrational exuberance of 401k
both,
investors.
Jeff.
Yeah,
last month and this month.
Yep, and then we had you know, the irrational exuberance where people were bragging about their 401k balances on social media. And I think it's really myopic, the myopic vision that people have. It's really right in front of what markets are doing, and they don't really have that long-term perspective. The other side of this is something we also talked about, which is pension funds. Uh-huh. So as the markets kind of go up and down, there's rebalancing and recalibration that often happens with equity pools or asset allocation, the asset allocation of certain investments. And I think that should certainly be something that listeners, so if you're a participant, if you're somebody that's in a pension fund, things to think about. I mean, you want to be astute and you want to be making sure that you understand that markets go up and markets go down, and that if you're a manager of a pension or you're part of a pension, that there are tactical allocations you need to make to adjust to these market conditions.
Yeah, no, I think it's a really good point. That's one of the things that we like to talk to you about when you're on the program, because you know, you have this history and you've spoken with people within this. And, you know, I think you and I first met, I guess a couple of years ago now, maybe a year and a half or so. And
yes.
One of the first things I asked you when you said that you, you know, work with pension managers and, you know, understand that market, I was trying to gauge really to what extent those particular types of money managers had moved into not only equities, but riskier assets in their hunt for yield. I mean, even though they are multi-billion dollar investors, it's interesting to see that same type of, you know, sort of behavioral finance kind of applies to those larger institutions, right? Because they're like anyone else where they want to get a yield, and for them, they really kind of have a requirement to get that yield.
Yeah.
So then that question becomes, where did that allocation shift to for a riskier asset like stocks? So then when things do get more volatile, are they able to withstand that type of volatility, especially, of course, now that we're talking rates, if they can start to, you know, chip away at that, you know, 6-7% that they want to get a year by getting a bond that offers 4 or 4.5. So that then brings the relative value of those equities potentially lower. But, you know, obviously that is still contingent, I think, on how quickly those rates do move to an absolute level. One of the most interesting things I think about this whole inflation conversation for bonds and for rates is, you know, and we ask it all the time, which is, where's the trade-off? At what point do you need to get to a yield at which stocks, you know, the bond replacement stocks become less appealing. And for that, that conversation is not so much about the rate of change. I think right now, bond market investors, the concern about inflation is it'll show up quicker. So that's a rate of change conversation. But there's an absolute level for bond yields that doesn't really change, I don't think, the value add for stocks so much. So until you get there, then, you know, I don't really know. And that's what I, you know, it's really important to me is where does that absolute level for bonds sit for a pension fund manager who says, okay, let me go back and put a little bit more money into this fixed rate?
Well, I definitely, you know, I was just reading some press this morning that the state of New Jersey was actually reducing its rate assumption over a 5-year period. And I think that's going to be more of the norm. And I think as a result of those assumptions going down, you're going to have recalibration and thinking about, okay, where do we position ourselves in the fixed income market? Do we continue to take those risks on the equity markets, knowing that fees are going to be higher? Are we going to get that return? And are we going to hit our benchmarks? And I think, you know, that really needs to be recalibrated and thought through by all these CIOs around the country and really throughout the world, and how they're going to react to that.
I was just going to say, yeah, big implication there. I guess, and also, you know, just one other point there real quick is that within this whole sort of market turmoil and speculation about what could bring more pain, I have heard very little about pensions. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I gotta be honest, and I think George would back me up on this. You know, the retirement is not as well covered. It's not as sexy a topic, and we're hoping to change that on the show. But I think pensions are certainly a big part of retirement programs, and by the way, they're a big part of public financing. So, you know, a public pension, like a state and municipality, what they have, that is often a big part of their liability on their balance sheet. So I think that we actually need more coverage of this so that people, you know, average people understand the implications of floating an additional bond, what that's going to mean to funding the pension, what happens if the pension is underfunded, can that organization or that government go into bankruptcy? There's a whole swath of topics that need to be talked about.
Yeah, I kind of get the sense that pensions don't get in the news until it's maybe almost too late or too late and they're in big, big trouble. So talking a little bit more about that. I'm always happy to dumb a conversation down. I enjoy drinking beer, and sometimes I enjoy drinking beer out of a can, and those cans are oftentimes made of aluminum. And when Trump's talking about throwing a tariff on aluminum, how is that going to impact me?
It's a good question. Depends how much beer you drink.
Probably.
Yeah, if you're like Oliver, it could affect you a lot.
Right? I don't know. Well, I was just watching Wilbur Ross on CNBC, and he brought a couple of props on with him, saying that for Campbell's Soup, at least for what they – there's pennies. I think he said there's, quote, pennies of aluminum in a Campbell's Soup can. And so we're talking fractions of that in terms of how that'll change the price. But then you also saw yesterday Anheuser-Busch saying that, you know, it's going to cost jobs and it's going to, you know, cost money. So it's tough. I hate to use the old wait and see dodge, but we'll have to really find out how much of that is talk and how much of that really. I'm sure somebody can do a calculation somewhere to figure out the bottom line.
Yeah. I mean, if I could just jump in there, just kind of tying this back to markets too. I think, you know, to Oliver's point, it is a wait and see mentality right now. Do they actually go through with this? We don't know the extent of which companies or countries for that matter would have an exemption under this. I think the bigger kind of implications of what people are starting to try and flesh out is what would this mean in terms of retaliation from other countries, right? If you look at the prime example we keep going back to is when, you know, Bush tried to do this in 2002, what the implications were there, and you saw a pickup in you know, market volatility, but not even you know, just within the stock market necessarily. You know, you saw retaliation from multiple different countries, and even the WTO. Granted, the situation was a little bit different than it is today, but you know, I think that's a big concern for people: is where does this kind of stop, and can this really trigger a global trade war that, you know, as unfortunately our President Trump has tweeted that it'd be easy to conquer. I just don't see it that way, and I think it could have some really, really big implications, especially with some of our allies and some of our biggest trading partners, if we do continue down this path.
And that's why he's the president and we're not, because it's because he sees things more clearly. So,
cue the music on that one.
Yes.
So what one thing, George, I don't want to leave out. So it's almost tax day, right? We've got another month. It's April the 17th, and so we just had. I know everyone's excited about that, right? I think everyone. I just made everyone on the podcast cringe, and probably all the listeners cringe. But you know, that's just the reality of the world we live in.
Refund time, baby. Refund time.
Well, we hope. But you know, we've got tax cuts, and I want to put this to you, Kev. First, is, you know, you're obviously an equity senior equity analyst with Bloomberg, and how much does the tax reform come into your thoughts in terms of when you're looking at companies and when you're doing your job day to day?
It plays a really big role. You know, when our mandate, we typically are looking out, you know, 12 to 18 months in terms of our analysis for where the market goes. But you definitely have to keep in mind a longer term perspective, right? So initially, these especially the corporate tax rate getting cut down to 21%. I mean, that's going to have big implications for the bottom line for U.S. companies. We expect to see, for example, EPS growth in the S&P 500 somewhere near, you know, 18% in 2018, which is substantial. It's very substantial. What I think is going to be an interesting debate that's starting to surface, but will gain momentum as time goes on, is A, the timeline for these tax cuts, and B, how do you go about funding these, right? The big talk now about the twin deficits with trade and now this budget deficit, a lot of new U.S. Treasury issuance coming to market. You know, it could have some pretty big implications about who's going to fund this. What are the effects on the dollar? Right, it would take, you know, you have this kind of push pull with the Federal Reserve raising rates, yields kind of creeping up, and so that could be potentially bearish for the fixed income market with yields rising. But when it comes to the dollar, I mean, you potentially could see further dollar weakness, which again isn't something that we've been used to. If these deficits continue to grow and there's no real kind of way, if economic growth doesn't, you know, kind of bail out the amount that these tax cuts are really going to cut into the budget deficit.
Well, they could just take it from the 401k deductions.
There you
That's
go.
What they were, I mean, that was what was bandied about and talked about. Well, guys, we appreciate you spending some time with us. I know we're coming up to the bottom of the hour, or bottom of the half hour, I should say. And I know Oliver's got to run off to his show. And I know, Kevin, you're busy with things that you're doing for Bloomberg. We want to thank you greatly for joining us. This has been real fun, and hopefully we can have you back to talk more and more about the markets.
Can I ask one more question to these guys? Real quick question.
Yeah.
It's NFL Combine. It's the NFL Combine, and I want to know if you guys were about to go run the 40-yard dash, what your time would be. Oliver?
I'm going to do 4.43. How about that?
Wow.
I got a long leg.
It's extraordinary. Yeah. Hey, Kevin?
Add 2 seconds of that for Big O.
Okay, so 6.4.
No, I mean, I would
depends how much stock-specific analysis is on the other side.
Yeah, right. Depends on what I'm running to.
Very well.
But If I'm running to a 3,000 price target on the S&P, I might be running faster. But no, I mean, I'm probably not running, you know, a sub 5 second. I'll be honest.
I love that Kevin is putting the real analysis into it.
Yeah, I won't sell my. I'm gonna sell myself short.
Awesome stuff. Thank you, guys.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, guys. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Jeff.
Have a good one.
Special thanks to Oliver Rennick from TD Ameritrade Network. He's the anchor for Morning Trade Live and Markets on the Close. And Kevin Kelly, he's the U.S. equity strategist for Bloomberg Intelligence. Thanks to both of them for joining us and giving us their insights on the market. George, what a way to start off our podcast.
I totally agree, man. I always say I'd rather be useful than brilliant, and those two guys know their stuff. So it was an awesome start.
We appreciate you all checking us out. We appreciate you all listening to us, and we hope to bring you more great, wonderful content week to week, month to month, year to year. So check it out. George, it's always a pleasure. I know you're going to enjoy that nice, warm Arizona weather.
And I absolutely
am. I'm stuck here in New York.
Spring training, man.
Yeah. Well, go Orioles.
Fair enough. Well, Jeff, thank you. And everybody listening, please subscribe to the show. Leave us a review. Follow us on social media. And we'll see you guys later.
Thanks.